Dale's beautiful, raw story of anger and despair is one that I'm hearing from many of you these days, and I'm feeling it myself. As many of you know, this past Tuesday, somebody carved swastikas into the front doors of our sister congregation, Fourth Universalist, in Manhattan. They had recently declared themselves a sanctuary for immigrants and refugees. The hatred is hitting so close to home. In my case, it's literally close to home. I live four blocks from that church. I also work out at the gym at our local JCC, and my kids take swim classes there, and they've received two bomb threats this year. A friend of mine is from Suriname. She's lived in the US for 17 years. She's raised four kids here. They all speak English, not Dutch, which is what they speak in Suriname. She's paid taxes, but she overstayed her visa a long time ago, and so she is illegal. She and her kids are terrified of being deported, probably even more terrified than they need to be because of the climate of panic that there is in the world right now. Of course, we here at First U had our Black Lives Matter banner stolen and vandalized multiple times this fall. And just last night, headstones were knocked over at a Jewish cemetery here in Brooklyn. As your minister, as a mother, as a friend, and just as a person, it all makes me feel angry and scared, and I'm guessing you feel something similar. We see all these things, and the circles of horror just keep expanding outward. We feel the onslaught of the bad to worse news, the surreal daily cocktails of truth and truthiness and lies, the daily eruption of new controversies, each weirder than the next, new outrages, new unfairness. Some of us feel these things so deeply it makes our blood boil. We live with this churning anger and negativity, and sometimes it feels like it could swallow us whole. It ruins our date nights. We don't know what to tell our kids. It feels like the whole world is going mad. What's a spiritual response to this? What are we to do? In addition to continuing our protests and calling Congress people and organizing and standing up for the values of our faith, what else? In addition to all of that, I would say, in a word, compassion. First, we need the awareness that some of us, especially minorities, especially people of color, for some of us, none of this is all that new. They've been subjected to hatred and violence for hundreds of years. There is something to the Derrick Bell quote that Dale mentioned about the permanence of racism. Racism is not new and it's not going away anytime soon. And that could be said of all forms of injustice. Discrimination against transgender youth certainly didn't start last week. We and our ancestors have found ourselves on all sides of these issues. Some of us own 401ks that are promoting the very causes that we then go out and protest the next day. It's more complicated than we're right and they're wrong. Nobody's hands have ever been clean. For some of us in this room, this world has never felt safe. We need compassion for those of us who have been fighting this fight because we had no choice for decades. And then we need compassion for those whom we other. Bear in mind that with most of these recent expressions, the swastikas, the bomb threats, the banner vandalism, the cemetery desecrations, it's not the government doing these things. It's the people. Probably not wealthy people. Probably not privileged people. Probably desperate, angry, but ordinary people. These are people who feel like their world has been taken away from them, and they've been falsely led to believe that they can get it back. And we, liberals, have played a role in humiliating and alienating them. You can imagine the rage of someone who feels like we nice, educated liberals care so deeply about a Muslim from Syria that we'll hide them in our church, but don't give a flying you-know-what about his dad who lost his job, his coal job in Pennsylvania, after working hard his whole life and now has nothing. We need compassion for those who feel like this world is leaving them in the dust and who, in some cases, are right. And we need compassion for ourselves. Because while all this static of pain and rage is happening on one station on our internal radios, on another station, children are having birthdays, grandparents are getting sick and needing to go to the hospital, a dog throws up on the rug, a friend gets a promotion and needs a celebration, we're on hold with customer service to fix some bureaucratic problem with a bill, we're on our way to work and a tree falls across the subway tracks and the train is delayed for 4 hours. Life goes on, and we're still living, and we're still struggling with the same stuff that we have always been struggling with. And sometimes, truth be told, it's a relief to have these ordinary things to deal with. Doing the laundry somehow feels indulgent and escapist. It's okay, and in fact, it's essential to have other parts of ourselves, other concerns, to even indulge in a little bit of happiness now and then, to protect ourselves and our families from the toxicity of constant anger is a good thing. Compassion for ourselves. So what's my advice to you? If you're mad, stay mad, but don't let it consume you or your life. Allow yourself your outrage, but maintain the long view that Dale advocated and a spiritual perspective that I want to advocate this morning. For this work, we need to be at our best, and anger seldom leads to the best thinking and acting in the moment. So, as I've done in recent sermons, I want to urge you to begin or continue spiritual practices daily, weekly, that refresh you and ground you and inspire you and that cultivate compassion. You owe it to yourselves and to your families and to the world, everyone who depends on you, to remain healthy in body and spirit. I also want to urge you to be really clear about exactly what our seven principles call upon us to do and how they call upon us to be in the world. We hold dearly to the principle that every life has inherent worth and dignity, every life. That includes the Muslim parent turned away at JFK, the Salvadoran fleeing death squads at the border who is deported for jaywalking, and the poor black man turned away at the polls because he doesn't have a driver's license. But it also includes the factory worker in Ohio who is losing his home, and the coal miner in Pennsylvania whose dad lost his job. We need to hold it all. That's our calling. That's our mission. It isn't easy now, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any easier anytime soon. We need to fight through our prejudices just as we are demanding that others fight through theirs. We have to work on ourselves and on the world. It's anger management, it's marshaling our energies, it's looking hard at ourselves in the mirror. It's finding humility, knowing that we are complicit in the pain of the world. It's finding righteous indignation, seeing ever more clearly the contrast between this world and the world of love that we envision. It's keeping our anger on just the perfect simmer, just at that perfect Goldilocks spot where we burn but are not consumed. We keep a sense of ourselves outside of all of that. We need patience and impatience, love and hard resolve, courage and tenderness, and most of all, to hold on to each other and our vision of a just society for everyone, for everyone. Our final hymn is We Will Not Stop Singing. It's in an insert in your order of service.